Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Chapman. Because we're going to be talking about what's happening in America, what's happening in the world today, as the whole financial system that was set forward back in 1913, a conspiracy by a group of bankers who wanted to take over the banking system of America. They created something called the Federal Reserve System, which was really a privately owned central bank created by the bankers for the bankers to enrich the bankers so they could create eventually money out of nothing and make fabulous sums of money, as Mr. Paulson, Henry Paulson, has as chairman of the and CEO of Goldman Sachs before he came to Washington, D.C. to become Secretary of the Treasury. He made $500 million. He's worth $500 million. And Mr. Paulson is such a wonderful man. He gave up a salary of $40 million a year to take a job working for the U.S. Treasury Department for $185,000 a year. What a cut in pay that is, because he just loves us common people, and he wants to bail out his buddies on Wall Street and bail out Goldman Sachs, which is one of the biggest and crookedest banks in the entire world today, and certainly one of the most wealthy banks that manipulates the price of gold and silver and stocks and commodities. And, of course, that's what the bailout is all about. And for the first time in my memory, Congress stood up and said, we're not going to go with it. And the Democrats crossed the aisle to help the Republicans. Of course, it was really the Democrats who were trying to get through George Bush's program, because the Democrats control the House of Representatives. But thank goodness for some honest Democrats. And of course, there were a lot of dishonest Democrat Republicans, Lundgren, who used to be our Attorney General here, who crossed the aisle to help the Democrats destroy the value of our currency, because this is what it's really all about. Well, with us is Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Bob, this was certainly a momentous day, wasn't it?
It sure was. I think people are going to look back and see that this was a dividing line. The American people finally were able to get their own way with their representatives by anywhere between 68% and 94%, depending upon whose poll you look at or what congressman you talk to. They expressed their desire not to continue to fund and bankroll and bail out Wall Street. And it worked. Now the question is, will they continue to hold sway here over the next week or two when the Illuminists try to again get legislation passed? In fact, they're thinking about doing that before the week is out.
In fact, I think that they will try to bribe the congressman. You know, they'll offer him a lot of money for their reelection campaigns. And, of course, you want to get reelected? Do you want us to fund your opposition, or do you want us to fund you? I mean, do you want to be back here? I mean, after all, would you like maybe $1 billion, maybe a nice little development there in your congressional district? Sure would look good for you for reelection. They'll do everything. They'll threaten them. They have the material on a lot of the congressmen there. It's going to be very interesting to see what lengths they'll go to salvage our fraudulent monetary system. Well, Bob, you go ahead and pick the story up.
Well, I think that, as we discussed before, that the representatives who voted against the bill, they should be contacted and thanked and asked not to vote any other way if we're going to have another vote. And for those who didn't, say, look, if you don't change your vote, we're going to make sure you don't return to Washington. And we've got to stay after them, because the Illuminists are not going to give up. They're going to do this thing as long as possible, because, you know, they're talking about probably hanging the American taxpayer with about $10 trillion in debt, which is going to bail out the financial system which they control, and at the same time, again, produce tremendous profits for these people.
But also produce tremendous losses for the American taxpayers, because it'll be an inflation. And the inflation wipes out the value of their pension funds. It walks out the value of their annuities. It wipes out the value of their insurance policies. It wipes out the value of everything that the little guy has as the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And I believe in a free enterprise system. But we don't have a free enterprise system. We have a fascist, a corporate fascist system by which the financial elite have enriched themselves, like Mr. Paulson and his $500 million that he's made. Is he so concerned about Wall Street? Go
Mr.
ahead.
Mr. Paulson was on television today, and he was only on for 2 minutes, and you could see he was very mad. He was outraged that the peons of America had stopped one of the masters of the universe from getting his way. And, of course, the stock market was banged around pretty hard today. And I think they allowed that to happen so that the public could be aware that the power that these people have and have had in the past. It was interesting to see that even though the Dow was off 778 points, the S&P equivalent was off 963, and the NASDAQ equivalent was off 1,200 points, which is far more than what the Dow was. So I would expect, unless something unusual happened, that the market would lower tomorrow. At the same time, they viciously attacked the commodity market. They took oil down 11.35 to 95.54. And
hold that thought, Bob. We're going to be back in just a moment with all of our stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bob Chapman. We're talking about what happened today and how for the first time the Republican members of Congress, and with the help of 95 Democrats, stood up to the financial elite who really control this nation and have for a long time. And anybody who doubts that, we have a copy of a letter I found among Colonel House's papers back at Yale University, a letter that Franklin Delano Roosevelt had written to Colonel House back in 1933, I think it was October of 33, where he says, as you and I know, Colonel, a financial element has owned the United States government since the time of Andrew Jackson, and I'm not necessarily excluding the time of WW, meaning Woodrow Wilson. Of course, this is what it's all about. Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Colonel House both understood that the financial elite own our country, and of course they continue owning it today. If you'd like a copy of that letter I found in Colonel House's papers at Yale University, we'll be glad to send it to you, or it's included in a number of our syllabuses. But understand what they do not want the American people to know, and the reason they don't know is because they've created money out of nothing and bought up the majority of the media, so that 90 to 95% of the major media outlets are controlled by the same financial elite. Much of what we say is known throughout the rest of the world, but it's not known in the United States, it's not taught in our schools or mentioned in our universities, because they don't want the American people to know that an elite has taken control of our government and are using our financial and military power to bring about a world government, which is why we have troops in 130 nations throughout the world, 700 foreign bases throughout the world. And people say, we don't have an empire. Why, we wouldn't want an empire. Oh, of course we have an empire. And if you haven't read the book, Confessions of Economic Hitman, written by John Perkins, who worked for the NSA under the guise of working for a private corporation, he will tell you, of course, what happens to the leaders of countries that we have targeted and who refuse to go along with the agenda, and they're either killed or there's revolution. This is the way the game's really played. Why do you think so many foreign leaders die in airplane accidents or under strange and mysterious circumstances? Or there are so many revolutions throughout the world. You really think they all happen spontaneously? Who do you think finances terrorism throughout the world? American tax money at work. You have to have the best enemy money could buy. Well, Bob, go ahead and talk about what's happening financially, because I think it's so vitally important that for the first time, why we see Congress standing up. The question is, will the American taxpayers continue their pressure on Congress and let them know that, because we congratulate them for having the courage and under no circumstances to change their vote, and let the people who have already voted to betray us, let them know that if they don't change their vote and vote down the bailout, vote down the bailout of Wall Street and the gangsters, the banksters, and understand that basically, this is all about freedom. We're going to have a depression one way or the other. The question is, when we come out the other side of the depression, are we going to be a free people with a gold-backed or asset-backed security? Are we going to continue our road to socialism where we have the banksters who support socialism actually, of course, creating money out of nothing and then buying the support of our politicians with it, and, of course, buying up the media and buying up, certainly, anybody who who stands against them, because they do. Either they buy them up, they threaten them, or they kill them. Go right ahead.
Well, I think that's really a lot to handle. And the reason I say that is that I think finally people are recognizing that there is a major problem, and they've smelt a little of the sweet smell of success in stopping, you know, what they don't want to happen. So they're going to have to continue in order to make this whole thing work for them, for the public. And, you know, the elitists, they are really upset. They never expected to have the tremendous fiasco that George and the neocons created in the Middle East, and other factions within the Illuminati are very furious about it. And now what's happened is they've essentially lost control of the financial system. And, you know, this is kind of a twin-headed hydra that's going on, and they don't know what to do. And they know that enough of the electorate is aware of what they're doing to cause some real problems. And that's why they moved in an active army unit into the United States, which goes into action in the next couple of days. And they're in America after having been in Iraq for a long time. They're in America to contend with demonstrations and crowd control and, of course, the terrorists that don't exist.
Now, because this is really all about a martial law situation in any part of our country where the people demonstrate against what's going on, as we saw certainly at the conventions. There was no freedom of demonstration there at the conventions at all. They had, of course, their militarized police there rounding people up and forcing them to areas and beating them over the head and gassing them. But, of course, you never saw that on television. But they did not permit other people to assemble and redress of their grievances as guaranteed in the Constitution, because the people in control don't believe in the Constitution. They want us to go along with their program, and they punished us today by intentionally allowing that the stock market to pummel, and they'll probably drop it for another few days to punish the American people for daring to challenge their control of our government. I mean, certainly they have been manipulating our market with the Working Group for Financial Markets for years. That's the Working Group for Financial Markets and the Plunge Protection Team. And this market should have been down a long way, a long time ago, depending on the price-earnings ratio. But they've been manipulating it up because they want us to keep us fat, dumb, and happy. And today, well, it's the time to punish the people, punish them and really hit them and destroy their pension funds and let them squirm. And then they'll go along with the elite, won't they? Or will they? Do they have the courage? Are enough Americans who really care enough about freedom? We're going to say we're going to get out from their control?
I think there are enough. We just got to get them motivated, and we got a good start here. I just hope we don't lose momentum, and I hope the other people who are on the other similar programs like yours, Dan, really work on it as well, and I think they will. I think the Internet and alternative radio probably are now influencing perhaps about 45% of the adult population in the United States, particularly younger people. That would be people under 40. And I think, you know, the situation is different now than it's ever been before. And we couldn't accomplish this without the radio access, and that's worldwide. And also, we couldn't have accomplished it without the Internet, which is just tremendous. Like, I can remember 15 years ago when we first started to use the Internet with the International Forecaster. And today I'm as awed by it as I was then, you know, reaching so many people. And so this has been their undoing. And I don't know what they're going to do to stop it. They keep on trying to herd the American public in this direction or that direction. And they found it's now not working anymore.
Oh, I think that's why they brought the military in. That's why. Don't you think that's why they passed the Military Commission Act and the other pieces of legislation, I believe it was October 2006, and even a liberal Democratic Senator Mike Leahy said this is a blueprint for dictatorship. This is a blueprint for dictatorship. They did away with the Posse Comitatus Act. Now they could use the American military on the American people. Why did they do that in 2006? Because they knew this day was coming. And they wanted to be sure they had the American military, that they would be willing to kill American citizens.
Well, I think you're right, and there's probably more to come. I kind of look at the program that was just defeated today in the House as a financial Patriot Act, because they were trying to give great powers to the Treasury, unchecked, with an open checkbook, letting from this day forward, so to speak, or I should say this way backward, that all of the CEOs could keep all of their golden parachutes and everything and change the rules for the people who came after them. And, you know, it's so typical of government to change horses in the middle of the stream. They did it back in 1986 with the Tax Act that was passed under Mr. Ronald Reagan. And they put 8 million millionaires bankrupt. And it was dreadful what they did. And that's the kind of thing that they do all the time. Whatever the special interest is, that's who they cater to. And it's usually their own people. And the outcome, they think, is going to be exactly what they want it to be. And they were just told, no, it's not going to happen that way. So we have just stepped into a long, hard fight. And I just hope the Americans who didn't want to see that happen are ready to stand there and take on the rest of the world, nation.
And I think, of course, people are going to have to realize we are going to have a depression. It's going to be sooner or later. If it's later, why, of course, we will lose our freedom. If it's now, we may be able to regain our freedom. Hank Paulson put out a three-page summary of what he wanted. He wanted, of course, a ability to do whatever he wanted with the $700 billion with absolutely no oversight, no congressional oversight, no judicial oversight, no court oversight. And then you can see this on 60 Minutes. They have the video there. You can watch it. He had the audacity to go on CBS 60 Minutes and say, why, I want oversight. My goodness, I don't want to just be able to do whatever I want to do. I want oversight. Look and see what he was saying. He can say whatever he wants to on 60 Minutes. He wanted dictatorial power to funnel that money to his buddies on Wall Street and Goldman Sachs. And well, at least so far, maybe he's not going to get it. We'll wait and see. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, I think you're right. He's going to try again. We've discussed that before. And I hope he's not successful. And because it's going to be devastating for the American people. we're looking at losses anywhere between $3 and $10 trillion in the variety of things that they've got lined up. And $10 trillion is probably a closer figure, and who knows, it might even be worse than that. And, you know, the American public, who's done the right thing, which is the vast majority of people, by working hard and saving and not having to walk away from their homes and so on, they're the ones who are going to end up stuck with all of these bills, which is hardly fair.
I was fascinated, of course, you brought out on an early program today, that the United States, I don't know if there's the Treasury or the Fed, gave almost $600 billion to other countries today. Now, of course, it was early, about a week and a half ago, they gave another $250 billion to other foreign banks, central banks, and certainly in Great Britain, in Switzerland, in Europe, and several other places throughout the world. And today, with very little fanfare, they gave another over half a trillion. So together with the other one, it would come to, what, $850 billion. That's more money than there is in the entire world. Where's the money coming from? They're just creating it out of nothing. They're going to destroy the value of our currency by just simply creating money out of nothing. And, of course, in addition to the $750 billion they've lent to, over three quarters of a trillion dollars they've lent to foreign central banks, they want another $750 billion to pay off Wall Street and enrich Hank Paulson's friends and on Wall Street. And he has the audacity to say, well, if we're doing this for Main Street, we're not doing it for Wall Street. We just want to help the common people. I mean, he gives hypocrisy a bad name.
He sure does. And that's their thinking process. They think that we're there to enrich them. And we're just wild beasts in the middle of a forest. And if we get devoured, so what? And, you know, that's just the way they think. And they've thought that way for centuries. This is nothing new. And no matter which way they go on this thing, we're still going to have a depression. There's nothing they can avoid. It's just a time frame. They're trying to work it out further, extend it as long as possible. And I can understand why they are, because I think they believe that they're in real trouble, and they are. And they know that the American people, if you get them mad enough and you have to deal with them, you got a real problem. And I think that's beginning to happen, or at least I hope the challenge is beginning to happen. And, you know, the arrogance is just unbelievable. It goes all the way through politics and through Wall Street and through banking, and particularly the higher you go, the worse it is. And, you know, they just dismiss you if you're not one of them.
All right, will you hang on there, Bob? We'll be back in just a moment as we bring our other stations on board here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, what the elite wanted was $750 billion. Now, you must understand that that is all the money that exists in the world. All the rest of it is credit bank entries they've created. And so they created $750 billion, equivalent to all the money in circulation at the present time. $750 billion, and of course that was what we're going to give to Wall Street, and then they've already given even more than that to other central banks. The whole world monetary system is beginning to crumble, and banks throughout the world are saying, we're not going to go along with this anymore. America is going to lose its position as the leader of the economic world. Certainly, their dollar is going to lose its position as the reserve currency of the world. And those trillions, what about at least $3 trillion or more, are held by foreign central banks. What do you think they're going to do with all those trillions of dollars they've got sitting there, Bob?
Well, I think that China has told us that they're not going to participate with the Federal Reserve in helping to form our monetary policy. And that is one of the most extravagant developments that I've seen yet. And, of course, the Chinese are probably holding $1 trillion in government paper, Fannie and Freddie as well. And I guess they probably told Washington, enough of that. We want to be in on the planning and so on because, you know, it means so much to us. You can understand their thinking. On the other hand, we shouldn't have foreign nations influencing our government, and that includes the Chinese, and Israel does the same thing all the time, and that's not right. And so I think that foreign participation in a decision-making process in Washington and throughout America is going to get larger and larger.
And I think it's really so interesting. The American people don't understand. We still are occupying Japan. You know, here we are over 60 years or 50 years after the end of the Second World War. So Japan has to do what we tell them to. Our troops are in their country. They're controlling that country. Of course, supposedly they have the democratic elections. When you've got soldiers there armed with bayonets and rifles, I mean, what have we got, 40 or 50,000? Who are we guarding them from? Are we guarding them from an attack by Taiwan? Is Taiwan going to attack them? Are China going to attack Japan? Why do we have 40 to 50,000 troops permanently stationed in Japan? To control the nation, of course. Why do we have our troops stationed in Germany here? What, well over 50 years since the 60 years after the end of the Second World War? They're occupying troops. They control the government there. And until Americans begin to understand what's really going on, but, of course, you're never going to read about this in Time, Newsweek, or U.S. News and World Report. Of course, we force these countries to go along with our economic agenda and our hegemony of the world. But is the time coming when these nations are going to say, we're not going to go along with you? Please take your troops and get them out of our country? Iraq's pleading with us to get our troops out. So why are we staying there? And, of course, there wouldn't be all the unrest there if they did not look upon us as an occupying country, if we had not destroyed the infrastructure of that country after we'd taken over by, of course, firing everybody who was in the could provide electricity or sewage or sanitation, simply doing away with the military, doing away with the police force, closing down all the factories so people had no jobs, closing many of the hospitals and schools so there'd be no education. We created the chaos in Iraq so we could justify staying there. Why doesn't somebody tell the American people that? And I think that the Iraqis and the Afghans would just say, please go away. We appreciate your coming in here, but please go away. We don't want you here. And this is the way most countries feel, but they don't have much to say about it because we have our dictators installed in their countries. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, you're right. You know, what they've got left in Iraq is geopolitical position and the layoff of all those earnings to the oil companies who are now moving in and taking over the production and actually exploration as well of oil.
It's all about
the two strong.
Go right ahead.
Those are the two strong points, and they also have used the war from the very beginning as a distraction to difficult things that are happening in the American economy. That was back in 2003, 5 years ago. And they did that so that people wouldn't be looking to the news all the time regarding what was going on financially. If you remember, we evolved out of one recession into another bubble, and we're in the process of being taken out again by that bubble. And I think that those are the three most important reasons why we're in there, and we're going to stay there for years and years.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. So go right ahead, Bob. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to come back again and try to ramrod the bailout for Wall Street through the Congress? It hasn't even been to the Senate yet, but do you think they first of all have to get Congress? Probably if they already own enough of the senators there, they'll be able to get it through.
Well, the Senate is much more, much easier to deal with, and I think that their hold is pretty strong there. It's the House which is weak for them, and after this next election, hopefully their grip on the House of Representatives will be less than it has been in the past, and that's up to you and I to get the incumbents that are in there out of office. Very, very, very important. We're probably, I would say, 3 to 5 years away from dictatorship. And I didn't think it was going to happen this way long ago, but it has. And, you know, you've got to deal with what you've got. And I think that the tack that they are on, and you mentioned it earlier, is ultimate control by government over the movement of people and their finances and who can work where and go to this place or that place. And I think that's going to get more and more stringent. And I think you'll see, like you do in many foreign countries, or have, and you do see presently the military along the side of the world searching people's cars. And, you know, that'll be the next step. And so I see the projection and extension of this bubble that we talk about and the terrible ramifications that it has for society. And I know that they're going to come back and probably use relatively the same bill and try to pay people off to pass it. It'll be interesting to see if they're successful.
Well, I think, of course, we need to get to the people who voted in favor of it and let them know how displeased we are with it. And, of course, they're going to remember in November. Just remember that slogan. We're going to remember in November, and everybody else that I meet is going to remember that you betrayed the American people, especially with this vote to bail out Wall Street. This is not to bail out Main Street. It's to bail out Wall Street. And we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is, of course, Bob Chapman. And, of course, so Bob was just saying he thinks they're going to come back with a similar bill to give dictatorial power to Henry Paulson from Goldman Sachs, who was sent to Wall Street, of course, because they knew this crisis was coming. And, of course, Bob, I want you to get your website out and your telephone number and how people can get in touch with the International Forecaster, which, ladies and gentlemen, let me mention, I read twice a week when it comes. It comes on Wednesday and Saturday. I always look forward to it. I always read it through from cover to cover. So go right ahead.
Well, the forecast is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues. And as Stan said, it's published on Wednesday and Saturdays in email form, runs around 25 or 30 pages each time. And we have a hard copy as well for people who are not on the Internet, and that goes out twice a month. If you'd like to go to our site and get a free introductory copy, that address is theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com. If you'd like to email us, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. Or if you'd like, you can call toll free to 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. And for our listeners out there, remember what Alan Greenspan wrote in his book, The Age of Turbulence. Quoting Lenin, there is no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch its currency, and not one person in a million will understand what's going on. They have debauched our currency. I mean, remember what a house cost you back in 1971? I remember the house I bought back in 1962 cost $42,000. It recently sold for $2 million. Now, of course, I didn't own it at the time. I sold it many years ago. But this is what's happened to the value of housing. The house I was raised in as a boy cost $3,000, probably goes for $150,000 today. The house has no more value. They've just debauched the currency. When you understand, they know what they're doing. The Federal Reserve was set up to give us a stable currency, but it was never intended to. They don't want the suckers. They have any security in their savings. In fact, as Alan Greenspan wrote in his article, Gold and Freedom, back in 1966, without the gold standard, there is no way to protect your currency. And if you haven't, of course, seen our little pamphlet on the financial meltdown, you need to get it. It's very, very good. It quotes Greenspan and tells you, he knows exactly what's happening. He set out to destroy our currency, knowing full well that without gold backing, the government can print all the money they want to. They created within the last several weeks over three-quarters of $1 trillion, and they've given it to other countries, or at least lent it to other countries. Supposedly, they're going to give it back. These are the central banks all throughout the world. We are holding up the whole world financial system. And, of course, that's going to have devastating results down the line for the value of your pension fund and your insurance policy and certainly everything you own that's denominated in dollars. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. Just two things real quick. C-SPAN today, Representative Burgess, Republican, Texas, took his 1 minute before the microphone in Congress today. He said, "We have seen no bill." He says they've only been debating talking points. He says, let's put this bill on the Internet. Well, I think it's already on the Internet because I got it. But I thought that was amazing. He said that they had seen no bill, and yet they voted.
Well, of course, basically, Nancy Pelosi didn't even want a vote. He was afraid that, of course, the people would vote it down. Remember, the Democrats are backing the Bush plan. This is George Bush's plan. The Democrats are backing it. The Republicans are opposing it. But Nancy Pelosi asked for a voice vote. And, so no congressman would have to let anybody know how he voted so that the constituents could not hold them guilty. And there was such an uproar and yelling and screaming from the audience, she was forced to have a vote where people had to stand up and be counted. And the majority voted against the legislation that Nancy Pelosi was trying to push through for her good buddy George Bush. Because it's not a dime's worth the difference between the leadership of the two parties. And it's about time the American people understood that the leaders of the Republican Party and the leaders of the Democrat Party have been bought by exactly the same financiers. Bob, what would your response be?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And it just shows you the despicable nature of Congress today. The thing was a setup, and everything went awry on them. They didn't figure that. They didn't figure a lot of people who were there would bow to the demands of their constituents. But, when you've got people on national television saying, it was on CNBC, I forget the congressman, but he was being interviewed, and they said, well, how is your mail going? And he said, hardly any people who were for it and everybody against it. So it was over 90% against. And we don't have that happen in America very often. And we have it together, yes, because people are realizing, but we're also having it happen because the left and the right are coming together. And it's a process that I've watched more like over the last 5 years. It's really a social phenomenon. The bringing together of people to the middle of, if you may, a political or philosophical grouping. And it's probably one of the better and more powerful things that's happened in American society in the past 50 years.
Amen to that. Anything else you want to say, Mike?
Down that vein, I'm glad this is happening because they've really got their hands in the cookie jar this time, as though they hadn't all along. But this time it's plain to see what they're after.
Well, this time their head is caught in the cookie jar. They can't get it out, but everybody can see how they're out to rape and pillage the American people by transferring $700 billion to Wall Street. This was not to, of course, to help the little guy. This was not to stop foreclosures. It was a bailout for Wall Street so they could continue using this fiat money system to enrich themselves and impoverish the American people and destroy the value of our currency, because that's what it's really all about.
Can I ask Bob a question?
Sure, go right ahead.
If he has any numbers on the total amount of mortgage in dollars, the mortgage failures that we've seen so far. One person has put out a figure of only $61 billion in mortgage failures that they're pointing at. Of course, you know, they're calling it $700, I suppose, but do you have any numbers for all the actual valuation of mortgage failures, Bob?
Not in front of me. I have done something that I think
a rough idea.
A couple of issues back. I do know this, that out of the subprime and Alta mortgages, I projected 4 years ago when I said Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were broke. I projected that the lenders would lose probably about $750 billion just on the failure of those loans alone. And I never knew at that time there was going to be securitization of mortgages and, you know, and the rating systems that followed, which was all bogus, and it leading to the credit crisis that we're in. And I don't think for a second that the insiders in Wall Street ever thought that they would not be able to pull this off, because one woman, a bank analyst with CIBC Oppenheimer, Meredith
Whitney,
she just a matter-of-factly said, and she's an analyst for banks, Citigroup, which at that time was selling close to 40, is not worth what it's selling for because of having all of this garbage on the books. And she said it's probably worth $22. And that's set the whole thing off a year ago, June. And it's that untoward act that nobody ever figures on. You know, the one thing, for whatever reason, is the triggering point for problems or chaos or exposure. And their worst dreams had come true in the form of nightmares for the Illuminists, because everybody else on Wall Street kept their mouth shut. They all knew, but she wasn't going to. And she exposed it, and the results have been gargantuan. And the losses that these banks and financial institutions got caught with on their books are just unbelievable.
They weren't
able to dump all their paper on everybody else with its phony ratings in time because Meredith came along.
I think it's important, Mike, that first of all, that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac have about $5.5 trillion in loans. Probably between 10 and 20% of those are underwater at the present time. But as time goes by and the value of the homes continues falling, which means, of course, that the mortgages are underwater, they're not worth what the paper they're written on, why, of course, that figure may go up to 20%. There are about $12.5 trillion in home mortgages outstanding in the United States today. But of course, $12.5 trillion here, trillion there. But if you look at the derivative market, you're talking about six or seven $100 trillion that are backing up the home mortgages, and of course the student loans and the automobile loans and all the other loans that are out there, and of course many of the municipal loans. And certainly there's a lot of these loans are going down, and when they go down, then the derivatives have to pay off the insuring company that issued the derivatives, and that's where the real problem is, isn't it, Bob?
That's right. And we're looking at some $700 trillion, which is a figure that, you know, no one can even comprehend. And most of the derivatives were custom-made, and only the writer and the buyer knows what's in them. There's no regulation. There's no control whatsoever. And that's why they stepped in with AIG, because that would have taken the whole derivative market down. In fact, Goldman Sachs was on the hook for $20 billion in that fiasco. And of course, there were many others who had similar types of debt that would have been exposed. And so now the American taxpayer is going to have the opportunity to be able to pay that debt back.
And that's what we did when we, of course, took on the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. We took on all of their debt as well. So we're in real trouble, Mike. It's an exciting time, and we'll be talking to you Wednesday as we explore, of course, what was in this bill that the legislature voted down, because they hadn't had a chance to read the 110
that they
pages.
They voted without voting on.
Right.
Can I just give the title of it?
All right, go ahead.
The Emergency Economic Stabilization Act of 2008. You don't find that title anywhere. It's in the newspapers. Nobody on the radio gives it except for yours. And I just hope people will look it up and read it. It's a little bit tedious in some spots, but it's an amalgamation of the Treasury Authority proposal that they were putting out last week, along with the TARP program, the Troubled Assets Relief Program.
I love these little names they come up with, TARP program.
But lots of people think, because of what was in the news, that the Treasury proposal was out and the TARP program did it in. But no, neither of them went away, and they're both put together in this horrid thing that really does establish, I believe, the position of king in the Treasury Department.
I think they call it, of course, the czar or fascism, and that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
And, of course, Henry Paulson's to be the chief fascist. Okay, thanks so much, Mike. We'll talk to Mike on Wednesday. And let's go to Andrew, who's calling from California. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Andrew, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan. Bob, recently I believe you said when inflation hits, be out of silver. Would you expand on that?
Well, just a good example of that was today. Now, I know that there seems to be and probably is a physical silver problem in the world currently. And we can tell that by the fact that there's not very much for sale. Most of what is being produced is going to industry so they can complete their projects. But you saw the carnage that took place today in the commodity market. And that's not an indication of deflation at this point in time. It's an indication that our government was active in that market trying to drive it down. I mean, oil went down over $11. That's highly unusual.
Yeah, but then the stock market going down $777, it's staying down is unusual, because usually the Working Group on Financial Markets, made up of the Treasury, the Fed, the head of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York and the SEC, they're all in there, of course, buying to manipulate the market. But today they did not manipulate the market back up again. Why didn't they manipulate the market up? I mean, they could come up with $3 or $4 trillion and drive it up if they really wanted to.
So the market was down because they wanted it down.
Yeah, I think so.
To say, look, you people, look what you've done. You're all going to lose your jobs, and all you owners of companies are all going to go out of business, and you're going to be destroyed. if we could save you, and all you have to do is take on the debt that we so voraciously and corruptly created, and we get caught with.
Well, I think
if you do that, we're going to save you.
Andrew's question is, should we be getting out of silver? At what point should people get out of silver?
Well, that's why I tell people to subscribe to the International Forecaster. But the time will be when we are obviously having deflation when it begins, and a indicator will be that speculators will no longer want to borrow money to speculate as they had in the past, perhaps cut it in half, and the public will not continue to build debt as they have. They'll start paying it off, and the corporations will find that the money spent for planning plant and equipment for the future isn't worthwhile doing at that current time. When you see these three forces come together, you'll know you get 6 months to a year to get out.
Okay, thanks so much, Mike, and we'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have with us, of course, John calling from Yakima. Hi, John. You have another question or comment?
Hey, Dr. Stan. Yeah, I was concerned about that Social Security again. I have, like I said, well, before, I've got two to three people that are really a little bit unnerved about it. You know, they worry about their checks the past few months, how they're going to, you know, survive. And I worry about it, too, you know, because I kind of look over them. And I was thinking, you know, I heard this phrase tossed around the last few days, you know, October surprise. And I was thinking about the military coming in now. I'm thinking, what a perfect time they could do this, you know, when the banks are just, maybe they'll just shut the banks and not help these people.
Well, if you're talking about when, how long will Social Security last, is this what you're asking?
No, I'm asking, you know, what's the chances of them just shutting Social Security down on these old folks and disabled people?
All right, what do you think the chances are of them just shutting
I think politically it's zero. They'd have a revolution on their hands, and how they will back off the usage of Social Security is two ways. They'll continue to increase the taxes on it, which will never go into Social Security. It all goes into the general fund and disappears. And I think when you have a deflationary or depression environment and you've got one-third of the people in the country unemployed and that loaf of bread that's $3 right now,
right,
all of a sudden is 50 cents again, the government will come out and say, look, all of these costs have gone down spectacularly. The stock market is at 4,000 on the Dow, and pension and profit sharing plans have lost two-thirds of their money, and they, like us, really can't pay you, so we're going to cut the payments by 50% because it costs you half as much to live right now because we're having deflation, or maybe they'll cut it more than that,
yeah.
And that's how they'll do it.
Yeah.
And what about, of course, the possibility that they will still try to take us into a hyperinflation and just destroy the value of the Social Security check? You'll get the check, but it won't buy that loaf of bread.
That's how I see it, yeah.
That's
possible, too.
It doesn't buy,
you know, I figured out that Social Security payments should be double what they are
right
since 1980. So if you're getting $1,100 a month, you should be getting $2,200.
And they're simply lying about the rate of inflation, and they tag, of course, the Social Security with the rate of inflation, then they lie about the inflation. They do the same thing with, of course, the inflation of attached or rated T-bonds, the TIF, so-called. Okay, well, thanks very much, John. God bless.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you so much, Bob. It's always a pleasure to have you with us here at Radio Liberty.
Well, thank you, Stan, and I'll see you next week.
Right.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. We do hope you enjoyed our interviews with Bob Fletcher. We are in very uncertain times, and whether we're going to have hyperinflation, the elite who rules America, and if you don't know who they are, let me suggest you go to my website and watch my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness and or get our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. It will give you the background of who these people are and what really motivates them, and what God they really worship. because that's really what it's all about. We're involved in a spiritual battle being played out in a political and ideological and cultural battlefield. And these people, many of them of great wealth and fame and notoriety, have that wealth and fame because they've tapped into the other dimension. If you've not yet seen my talk on the forbidden secret, that's the forbidden secret. You need to get that, along with, of course, the syllabus that goes with that, to give you the documentation on much of what we talk about. And then, of course, if you'd like the little pamphlet on the working of the spiritual hierarchy, published by a Luciferian organization in America, if you get anything else from it, just ask for the free pamphlet, The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. It was published by the Lucius Trust. You go to their website, luciustrust.org, and look up the spiritual hierarchy, because they've taken this little pamphlet down since we've started talking about it. They must listen to our programs regularly, but fortunately they have given us the material and asked us to circulate it, and we're doing just what they asked. And we've explained that they have their people, according to them, planted in financial markets all throughout the world. And they either know what's going on, or their minds are controlled by these spiritual forces. Now, certainly you need, of course, to get our talk on the financial tsunami. You should have had it a long time ago. It was given to years ago, but we have it on DVD or video. And we also have the syllabus that goes with that. That's the financial tsunami. You need to get our pamphlet on the history of money and our pamphlet on the financial meltdown. You need to get the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. It's out of print again, but of course we're getting a new supply. I guess it is back in print. I know we just bought 5 cases. They go out so quickly. I mean, we're moving sometimes 20 or 30 copies of that book on a weekend. It is essentially the best book to explain to you how this monetary system works. A monetary system that's built upon debt. And as debt, of course, explodes or contracts, why, of course, then the amount of money there that contracts, and you owe a lot of money, but there's no money available. Why? Because it never existed. It was all an illusion. But, of course, it will soon become a tragedy for you, because they will use that to control you for the rest of your life. That's why they changed the bankruptcy laws. They knew this was coming. And, of course, they want to get the creature from Jekyll Island, the book The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and the book Fiat Money Inflation in France. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we want to remind you, we are having an all-day seminar at the Monterey, here in the north shore of Monterey Bay at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, a beautiful setting, and doors will open just before 8 o'clock, and we'll be going until 5 or 5:30. Certainly we will actually have a luncheon, so you have to have a reservation. We need to know how many people are going to be there. That is the annual Radio Liberty Seminar. Certainly Patrick Wood will be there talking about finances. Dr. Russell Blaylock will be there talking about health. Joanna Michelson will be there, and she was a medium. She was in contact with the spiritual beings from the other dimension. And, of course, you'll find it fascinating. Certainly one of the most gripping stories I have personally ever heard, and I'm looking forward to hearing again. I've heard it many times, and I never tire listening to it. Joanna is one of the most wonderful people I know, and certainly a good friend of Carol Matusiana, is going to be our guest here the next hour. And so give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And we hope that you'll make a reservation for the Radio Liberty Annual Seminar on the 26th of October. And please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty. And, of course, we're living in truly exciting times. Well, this is Dr. Stenbach here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and we're hoping, of course, to have with us this evening our special guest, Carol Matriciana, talking about what's really happening from a spiritual point of view. Because, you see, the Christian church has been infiltrated by these demonic forces. I mean, what better way to destroy Christianity than to infiltrate it and change the music and the message of the Christian church, and whether it be the Catholic church, whether it be the Protestant church, whether it be the Jewish religion. All of them have been infiltrated and gradually being moved more away from the traditional Christian position, just a little bit at a time, into a more tolerant position about homosexuality. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a spiritual component to homosexuality, and it is truly demonic, and these people have given themselves over to their base wishes, to the dark side. And, of course, they want to get people to take a more moderate position towards abortion and a more moderate position towards divorce. And this is why half of our marriages end up in divorce in the Christian church today. Why so many ministers are involved in pornography. Why so many ministers are involved in homosexuality. And you're not hearing about this, but this is the reality of what's going on. Well, if we don't have Carol, well, of course, we'll have to just do open lines. So right now, of course, we're getting our answering machine. And I'm going to ask my producer, Ado, to Jeannie, to come in here. And if she doesn't get it, I'll give her the number one more time. It's possible we're dialing the wrong number, but under any circumstances, why? Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on in the world today financially. And certainly one of them, I was just reading, where the Swedbank. Now, this is a bank over in Sydney. And we have the right number. We're calling the right number for Carol. And I don't know why she's not available, but we'll just go ahead. I'll leave the message on her answering machine and hope we'll have her back. But the Swedbank is over there. In Sweden, and of course, their shares of that stock dropped 9% just a couple of days ago because they had let over, I think, $1.35 billion to Lehman Brothers. In other words, one bank lends to another, and of course, they have security. They had all sorts of land developments and property developments, and Lehman Brothers used that as security for the $1.35 billion. And then we find out that Lehman Brothers has suddenly gone bankrupt and has had to be, of course, absorbed into one of the other major banking houses. But what about the security that for the Swedbank? Well, apparently a lot of banks have that same property being used as security, and Swedbank has no recourse at all. And it may very well be out $1.35 billion. And so the article in the Wall Street Journal simply says that in the sign of the far-reaching unraveling of Lehman Brothers Holdings Incorporated, real estate portfolio shares of one of Sweden's largest banks tumbled, and concerns about whether or not the loan will ever be paid back, of course, that remains to be seen. Shares of Swedbank AB fell as much as 9% after the bank said that the collateral it banked, the $1.35 billion loan it made to Lehman, was risky. And, of course, this is happening all across the country, as more and more certainly of our major banks are getting into problems. And banks are afraid to lend to other banks. Why? Because some of the largest banks in America have gone down. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our regularly scheduled guest for this evening, Carol Matriciana. We haven't been able to get hold of her, so apparently something has happened But anyway, hopefully we'll have her on later this hour. But right now, of course, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And basically, of course, the most amazing thing was, of course, what's happened as far as the bailout is concerned and the efforts that are being made to confuse the American people about what's really going on. Certainly one of the major apologists for the neoconservatives is a man named Gary Bauer. Gary Bauer, of course, who worked in the Reagan White House, always bills himself as a conservative Christian, very close to Focus on the Family, and I'm not casting any aspersions on Focus on the Family, but Gary Bauer is a neoconservative. He was one of the organizers of the Project for the New American Century, which is the Trotskyite organization dedicated to world dominance under the control of the United States. And, of course, many of the members of the organization come from the Council on Foreign Relations. And basically, I just want to read you briefly what Gary Bauer said. He said, this afternoon, the House of Representatives voted down the administration's economic rescue plan, 205 to 228. At one point, the stock market plunged 700 points. Over the weekend, House Republicans succeeded in forcing major improvements in the bill. President Bush made a brief statement shortly after 7:30 this morning to calm the nervous stock markets and to rally members of the Congress for the vote. In spite of his plea, and in splits of support from the Heritage Foundation and the Wall Street Journal, a majority of House members voted no. Consider this. The Republicans voted against it because there were not enough protections for the taxpayers. Why, imagine that. The Democrats voted no, did so because they wanted more of what they got us into, more loans to people who couldn't pay them back. Well, on the verge of this vote, Speaker Nancy Pelosi went to the House floor and launched into a vitriolic attack against President Bush and the GOP. She continued the week-long liberal assault on blaming John McCain and the free market philosophy of this crisis. Ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Pelosi backed the bill. She didn't attack the bill. She backed the bill. She tried to get a voice vote through Congress so that no congressman would have to ever let his constituents know how he voted. And there was so much of yelling and screaming from the floor demanding that a vote be taken and congressmen be held responsible for their vote, yes or no. Well, this is Arthur Stan back here, and right now we have Carol Matriciana on the line. Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. I am doing well.
All right, fine. Well, of course, Carol's going to, if you don't know, Carol, of course, produces video films. She's been doing it for a long time. We carry probably a dozen or more of the videos that she's done. Excellent, giving you an insight into the spiritual battle that's taking place today. So, Carol, tell us what some of the new projects you're into, and let's get into the background, because, of course, one of the big problems today is most people really don't understand the spiritual battle behind what's happening on the political battlefield, the ideological battlefield, the cultural battlefield, the financial battlefield, the educational battlefield. They don't understand there truly is a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And since most people don't know there's a vote, pardon me, there's a battle going on, why they simply drift along believing what they read in the newspapers and believing what the Christian leaders tell them, so much of which, of course, is really the message from the dark side. So go right ahead, Carol.
Well, you're absolutely right, Dr. Stan. I am so blessed, I feel, I feel so blessed that I was born and raised in India, where the awareness of the supernatural is completely relevant in everybody's life. As I grew up, you know, I saw altars in front of trees, in front of bushes, in front of homes, in front of animals. I mean, everything is considered deity, and you have to appease everything. The cow that walks along the street is a deity, and the poor, dirty, mangy dog that's in the gutter is deity. The madness is the equivalent of holiness. It's an extraordinary religion, the religion of India, the religion of Eastern mysticism. But what I was made aware of as I was growing up is that there's this sort of spiritual plane out there that has to be appeased, that has to be satisfied with either blood sacrifices or rituals or ceremonies or feeding. And every single day in India as I was growing up was some kind of holy holiday to some deity. So I think the reason that the West is just kind of not aware of it is because everything's so squeaky clean here, and there seems to be, you know, the spirits are just confined to that church building that one goes to on a Sunday morning, and it's usually seen as the Holy Spirit and the Good Spirit or God the Father, and mostly in Christian churches. But then, of course, Christians think, well, there are those weird groups that they get confused about, like the Mormon Church has on the front of it, Latter-day Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and so that sounds like a Christian denomination. And the Jehovah Witnesses that come around to your door talk about apparently the same God. So people get very confused as to what is Christian and what is not, and what is spiritually acceptable and what isn't. And it really, Dr. Stan, has to all go back to the Bible, because unless people understand the story of the beginning of the world, what happened, who God is, that God created all the spirits, handmade each and every angel, and a third of the angels went into rebellion, led by Lucifer, and who said of himself, I can be like God, I will raise myself up in the same place as God. And of course the accounts are in Ezekiel and Isaiah, and people that want to understand spiritual warfare can see that there is the beginning of the battle. And Jesus said that he saw Lucifer come down from heaven like a lightning bolt. In other words, as he was cast out of heaven by God for being in an iniquitous relationship with God, setting himself up in a rebellious position to be like God, and apparently was able to deceive a third of the angels, so they were cast down to earth, and their job has been to basically dupe, destroy, kill, nullify, just harm human beings who are made in the image and likeness of God in order to retaliate against God. And if people can understand the bigger picture, that this is Satan's fight against God, using God's, what God created in human beings as Satan's pawn to take over man's mind and distract man's mind from God. So I got into the film business because, you know, I had got seduced. I was raised a Roman Catholic and went to church religiously and thought I was a good Christian, and got very easily seduced into the New Age because I had no spiritual anchor, in the sense of we didn't read the Bible, the Word of God, in Roman Catholicism. You just basically were involved in the ceremonies of, you know, the unctions of the church, so to speak. And when I became a New Ager and found myself going back to the very practices that I had seen going on in India, like in the practice of yoga before I became a Christian, I was involved in yoga. And then, to my surprise, when I became a Christian, I saw that Christians were practicing what was called Christian yoga. So all of these things made me make movies to try and help and educate Christians as to the supernatural warfare that's taking place to deviate people's affections and attentions from their creator God to the God of this world, who is Satan himself. And that rests in, you know, most of the things that you mentioned earlier on. That's how he cons people through their minds, through the educational system, through entertainment. I made a movie called Gods of Entertainment, showing that there are only five multimedia, mega media corporations that control 95% of global entertainment. And their agenda is to bilk teenagers of $150 billion, which is their spending capacity, and in the meanwhile, give them a pagan worldview, a Wiccan worldview, a Eastern mystical worldview, a New Age worldview, anything except a traditional Bible-based belief in the Creator God who created them.
And really, of course, this should be so obvious to people out there, but of course they really can't understand the spiritual battle. It takes a long time to realize that there really is an organized effort out there on the other side. And of course, so much of this ties into the Gnostic beliefs that there are two gods. One is the God, the inferior God, that the Christians believe, and of course Jesus Christ being personified in this God. And then, of course, there's the other God who gives people total freedom. You can have great wealth, you can have great power, you can have total freedom, you can do whatever you want to, you can appeal to your every delight and every sensual desire you have. But, of course, your God, the real God, is Lucifer. It is so difficult for people to understand that there really are millions of people, not only throughout the world, but right here in the United States, who embrace the Gnostic religion, who just feel it got a bad reputation among those, of course, hypocritical Christians during the first or second century. But Gnosticism is alive and well and working at the highest levels of our government today. And the people who say they believe in the Christ, they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in another Christ figure who is their God, which is Lucifer.
The cunningness, Dr. Stan, is that, the Lord said in Matthew 24, he told the disciples that these things would happen in the last days and that there would be many calling themselves the Christ and that, come here and see the Christ, go there and see the Christ. Now, interestingly enough, they don't go to see Buddha here and there. They don't go to see Muhammad here or there. These antichrists don't call themselves the names of other religious heads of other religions. They jump off Jesus Christ. And it is so amazing to me that Satan is able to play this game with people's minds and, of course, delude them and... the spirit of delusion and deception is such a huge spirit to battle against. But, I would just encourage Christians to go to the Bible, be able to discern the right and the wrong, the truth and the error, and press forward. One of the films, the last film I made, I went to India, and I told you about it, and I think you carry the film Yoga.
Well, that's Yoga and Coil. Yes, we do. And Yoga and Coil is the title.
Yoga Uncoiled. And you know, Dr. Stan, it's been amazing. I get praise reports and such encouraging reports almost every week. In fact, today I had a very encouraging one from a group of Christians that have a Bible study in their home, and one of the gals had been practicing yoga, and she didn't think anything was wrong with it, and so in the Bible study discussion came up that... yoga, the stretching exercises and the physical side of it cannot be separated from its spiritual roots that come from India and are rooted in pagan theology, the idea that all is one, one is all, light is dark, dark is light, sun and moon, all that everything is one. So this gal, after discussion, one of the people at the Bible study said, well, I've got this film on yoga. Would you like to see it? And there was a lot of defensiveness and hostility, as there always is, which is very interesting. People want to learn about most things unless this kind of spiritual battle takes over when light is trying to pierce into darkness. Well, anyway... she did see it, and after a couple of weeks came back to the study and said that she had been so convicted by the film Yoga Uncoiled, where we went to India, interviewed the practitioners of yoga there, and asked Indians and Hindus if the physical exercises can be separated from the spiritual. And of course, Orthodox Hindus say no, because yoga and Hindu are synonymous.
Hold that thought, Carol. Of course, the American people don't know, because nobody's told them until now. Go right ahead, Carol.
Well, the interesting news is that a couple of weeks after this incident happened, one of the parents contacted this little group and said that they have got a Christian who is going to be teaching yoga to fifth grade students in their school and is going to teach it to about 500 students. And as the word goes through from one person to another, quietly, gently, as you do, Dr. Stan, in your continual radio programs, opening the eyes of people, you know, people do hear and people do, I know it seems slow to us, but the message does get out there. So, long story short, this lady who was a Christian who was going to teach yoga to 500 children in schools, and by the way, this is a big thing now coming in where schools have banned the reading of the Bible and the idea of having Bible studies in schools, will have yoga lessons and yoga classes, which are coming in as science and coming in as stress alleviation exercises. But anyway, in this case, it was stopped. Well, I have had dozens of letters from people asking, well, what about Reiki and what about acupuncture and what about martial arts? And that has inspired us to make another movie on the martial arts. And so when you asked what are your latest movies, we just interviewed last week two brilliant people who had been in the martial arts for 25 years, one for 30 years, one for 25 years, both in different fields because, you know, martial arts is very diverse. There are thousands of different styles within thousands of different aspects within four different styles, and martial arts basically breaks into Japanese, which is judo and aikido, and Okinawa, which is karate, and then the Chinese have kung fu, and then the Korean have karate and taekwondo, which of course was elevated to fame because it got into the Olympics, the 2008 Olympics. So here we have spiritual, we have exercises based in spirituality, in Buddhism and Hinduism being accepted. In fact, in the 1980 Olympics, judo became accepted as an accepted Olympics exercise. And then, of course, we have thousands of Christian martial arts studios. In fact, in the making of this film, I've had to go into websites where Christian martial arts are advertised, and it is extraordinary, Dr. Stan, how the message of Jesus Christ is mingled. They take words from the scriptures to justify a pagan practice of, exercise without realizing that the meditation, the breath control, the arousal of the chi, the breath spirit, the ki, whatever it's called, it all originated from the Shaolin Temple in China. And it was a Buddhist temple, and the primary purpose...
Hold that thought, Carol. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty to continue our discussion. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course our guest is Carol Matriciana. We're talking about yoga, and of course how they talk about Christian yoga and Christian martial arts. And ladies and gentlemen, this is all part of the pattern of deception, because these are all mind control, of course, efforts, and of course they open up the other dimension to you. Did you ever wonder how these fellows can give this shout, you know, and with their bare hands break three or four bricks there? And how can you possibly do something like that? I mean, why isn't your hand destroyed? I mean, how can you have that? Well, of course, basically they're tapping in to the other dimension. Nobody ever tells you how these things work, but they work, of course, because they do tap into the other dimension, and of course you tap in there, of course, to the rescue for your eternal salvation. So let's get right back, of course, to Carol. Go right ahead, Carol.
Well, it's just amazing. I interviewed these two brilliant former karate and taekwondo champions who have both got their various belts and degrees. And, I mean, just that alone should make somebody wonder, why are there degrees and, you know, why are there belts? Why are there masters? Why is it that there is somebody at the top that passes down his secrets, so to speak, and of course, as you've just mentioned, these extraordinary powers. But there's so much symbolism, and there's so much represented in, like, the yin and the yang and Tao and the blending of lightness, light and darkness, and the God of forces and the ideology that God exists in all things. I mean, this is a philosophy. And young kids are being introduced to this sweet Christian parents who think that they want their kids to learn integrity of character and self-defense, take them to these Christian martial arts studios, Christian karate studios, Christian judo studios, and say, well, you know, my kids are learning discipline, but let's think about something. Just look at the martial ranking. The ranking system of most martial arts is said to originate in its military background, and there's these color distinctions between each of these belts and ranks. But let's think about it. A little child goes in and starts with the white belt. The white belt is the symbol of purity and ends with a black belt after 7 to 10 years of indoctrination. Surely somebody should just see the sense, the nonsense of why are they going backwards to a black belt ceremony after starting with purity and whiteness, you know? I mean, it's just very simple questions to ask this. And, of course, many say, well, it's just you know, exercise and bodily discipline. But let's look at the idea of self-defense. I mean, what is, did Jesus talk about that we need to defend ourselves, that we need to learn how to physically defend ourselves? And when Peter took out his sword, the very, very last miracle that Jesus did, as Peter drew out his sword and cut off the servant's ear that came to arrest Jesus, Jesus picked up the ear and put it back and said, no, this is not the way to do your fighting. Jesus taught, turn the other cheek. It's not self-defense, the idea of stimulating the power of self, finding out how to arouse powers of mental and spiritual balance to become as strong within, the, you know, to bring in the strength of the mind, and that the mind controls, as you said, that it's mind over body, and it's this training of the mind that enables one to stand up against any challenge. These things are very dangerous because you are being told to go in to the powers and principalities. And within martial arts, you're still told to go into meditative states, and you've got to balance these chakras, as they call them, or energy centers. And the Grand Master teaches you these things through breathing exercises, through arousing the prana and the chi and the ki or the energy, which is very, very similar to the same thing as done in yoga. And, of course, what many people don't understand is that Buddha himself had started as a great Indian hero that was behind martial arts. Actually was a, it's a philosophy of Buddhism, but he was a Hindu. He came from India and then spread Hinduism into the martial arts. So it goes back to its original state, in its original worldview in India, the idea of everything being connected, all God consciousness, Eastern healing, and the practices of the East and West. That's all part of it. And of course,
hold that thought, Carol. We'll be back in just a moment with Carol Matriciana talking about martial arts and, of course, how you, of course, get into the other dimension. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Carol Matriciana. You sort of picked this idea up, Carol, because I think it's so important that people understand that this is part of the Hindu religion, Buddhist religion. Hindu comes out of Hinduism, and Hinduism, of course, is this pantheistic religion, but under all circumstances, you want, of course, get into touch with this inner power. But where does the inner power come from? Why, it comes from, I believe, come from the other dimension, from the spiritual dimension, and that's what it's really all about. And, of course, once you begin to contact that spiritual dimension through your meditation, you lay yourself open for demonic possession. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, Dr. Stein, but you see, people, they hear demonic and they kind of get terrified by that, and then they say, no, it's not satanic and it's not demonic. But, you know, let's look at what is the five styles that are even in the martial arts. There's the crane, the cobra, the tiger, the leopard, and then the highest of all symbols is the dragon. The spirit of the dragon protects most of the doors within Buddhism, the gates, the portals that one comes into. The highest level of Kung Fu is all about dragon arousal. The snake is the sort of circular, suffocating and cunning creature, but the dragon is the essential power within martial arts. So, you know, let's go back into the Garden of Eden and see that the serpent of old, the most cunning of creatures that got hold of Eve's mind and was able to deceive her through her senses, is also called the dragon of old, and that wicked creature that deceives the whole world. So just like in yoga, where the snake, the kundalini power that is said to sleep at the base of the spine, is aroused through breath, through prana breathing, through meditation, through visualization, is brought up through the psychic powers. So the same thing happens in martial arts, where they still have that breathing and yelling and screaming of certain ha, ha, ha. These are mantras that arouse the breath, bring in control, and arouse that dragon to bring out dragon power. So, you know, very definitely the spirit that is being evoked, the energy force, comes from the basic understanding, the premise of Tao or yin-yang, that light cannot exist without darkness.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Carol Matriciana. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest, of course, is Carol Matriciana. Before we go on, of course, Carol, would you like to get out your webpage and help people can get in touch with your ministry?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, I'm in the movie-making business, which we mentioned earlier on, and I've made up to almost 60 different topics of documentaries over the last few decades, and many of those are available still on my webpage at www.caryl, which is my name, C-A-R-Y-L, spelled a little differently, C-A-R-Y-L TV, like television.com. So it's just seven simple letters, www.caryl, C-A-R-Y-L TV.com. And we were talking about Yoga Uncoiled from East to West, which was our last DVD, and we've been asked to make one on martial arts, and so that's what we're talking about this evening. But I hope before the martial arts DVD comes out that we're still going to be able to get our one on Islam out, which we're in final stages of editing at the moment. Rising, Islam Rising is what this one's called, the call to worlds, the one world, the call to Ummah, which is the Islam one world, kind of one world domination, if you will, under Sharia law, is called Ummah, U-M-M-A-H. And so that's our next film, showing how the rise of Islam is taking place in Europe and in America. We interviewed former Muslims and former terrorists and experts on Islam who talk about cell groups in every state across America, and I've just come back from England, where I am just amazed at the growth of Islam in Europe. London is now called Londistan, and there has been Sharia law, Muslim law, which considers itself above the constitution of the land that Muslims live in. So Sharia law is considered above English law and has been in practice for the last year in England, so that Muslims in England can be tried under Sharia law and not English law.
And of course that was just being fostered by the Archbishop of Canterbury, by the people at the highest levels of Great Britain. Why in heaven's name would they said they do away with English law and allow Sharia law in London? Unless, of course, the leaders of Great Britain and the Archbishop of Canterbury have a much different agenda. Well, let's quickly go to Arlene, who's calling in from Santa Cruz. Arlene, do you have a question for our guest?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you.
Do you have a question?
She's right on all the way, except she's forgetting one thing. Today is the feast day of St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming from a person who chose to be Baptist during the Great Depression. I'm 82 years old. And I walked to church in the rain with cardboard in my shoes because there was holes there. And I was Baptist. And when I went back to the Baptist church to get verification of my baptism by immersion, the church was gone. Literally gone. It was a business. Someone had purchased the Baptist church in my little town in Irvington, New Jersey, and converted it to a business. What I'm saying to you, and what I'm saying to your guest, I have no question, simply because I believe what the Bible said. This war is not ours.
No, it's
and it is not between princes and principalities. It's between God and his fallen angel.
I think
and God is the winner.
Well,
as of the time that he sends St. Gabriel, St. Michael, and St. Raphael, and there's more to come.
All right, thanks very much. And, of course, that was Arlene confirming the idea, of course, that this is a spiritual battle, but, of course, whether the saints are going to come and rescue us or whether, of course, it's really going to be up to God to determine what's going to happen. Everybody has their own ideas, but it is a spiritual battle. Go right ahead, Carol.
Well, thank you, Arlene, for reinforcing the fact that there are ministers of God up there, and they are fighting on behalf of, by God's edicts, by God's instructions, fighting for the saints as God instructs them. And, of course, there are fallen angels. And many people get in contact with these fallen angels and can't tell the difference. I made a film called Supernatural Powers, The Battle Between Good and Evil, to try and help people understand from the Bible's point of view who are God's ministering angels, what is their job, what do they do for God and for the saints, and who are the fallen angels, and can we make contact? Can we tell God's ministers what to do? No, we can't. God's ministers, the angels that were obedient to the Lord, can only do his bidding. However, the fallen angels are very quick to transform themselves into angels of light and very quickly come to anybody that calls on them and appear as angels of light in order to deceive those who communicate with fallen angels, and we are forbidden to make contact with the other world, and yet people do that through crystals, through communicating with the dead, through wanting to go to seances and conjure up and bring up the dead people and continue to be in conversation with their loved ones who have passed away. And of course, all of this is demons masquerading as loved ones that have passed away, and we cannot communicate with souls that are either separated from God or with the Lord after they've died. But supernatural powers, the battle between good and evil, I know Dr. Stan carries that product, and it's a very enlightening product on telling the story of young children who started playing with a Ouija board or started getting involved in Wiccan practices, paganism, reading fantasy literature, and then got fascinated by the occult and got drawn into communication with fallen spirits, and wonderful testimonies of how they got set free by giving their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only one whose arm is not too short in these battles, and he is our only victor. Under his feet is all authority after his resurrection, as he does the battle. But people do get very, very confused with the supernatural world out there and who they can and can't talk to. But there's philosophies out there that are very confusing. And as we were mentioning earlier on, there's whether it's Islam that is trying to take over the world with their philosophy and with Sharia law being practiced in England now, most people think, well, we need to be all things to all people, all religions are the same. But I'll tell you, when my new movie comes out on Islam, you will hear through the testimonies of women who were Muslims that they are not treated equally. A woman has half the brain of a man. Supposedly, Islam says that she has only got half a brain, and when she's caught in adultery, she has to come forward with four witnesses, whereas a man only needs to have two witnesses. A woman is not allowed to own property. Young children have got to have horrible, cruel surgery on their private parts to cut out their genitalia. Young children, it's so cruel how women are treated. And of course, women have to wear all this 7th century Arabian dress, whereas men are able to stay cool in the Arabian sun. And you know, and the modern world is allowing this law to take place so that we go back into 7th century Arab culture, which has been deified through Islam. And of course, you even get President Bush, who says that Allah is the same as the Christian God, which is so far removed from the truth. Above every mosque is a crescent-shaped moon, and Allah is the moon deity. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, tried to unite all the Muslim tribes, the Arab tribes, during his day and age in the 7th century, and decided to deify the moon deity as the leading deity, and that is what you see in all mosques, the crescent moon. So Allah is the moon god, not the god of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the same as Jehovah God, as Muslims try and make out.
And I think it's so important that people understand that the real movement that's going on today is to destroy Christianity, which is why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, and to replace it with a universal religion based upon caring and concern, and of course, worship any God you want to, except, of course, Christianity. You can certainly have Muslim services in our schools, and the children pray to Allah in our schools, but don't you dare have a prayer to the God of the Bible. Why is that? Well, of course, our leaders are not going to tell us that there is, because there is a conspiracy against Christianity. And it is all goes along with the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Currency. And that's, of course, what's going on today. And then, of course, the New World Leader, of course, who will be the Antichrist. And there is certainly a holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And there is an unholy Trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. When you understand that, so much of what's going on really makes sense today. And they are in predominant control. They are preparing to put their man into the leadership of the world. But they cannot let the American people know. And so neither our religious leaders nor our media will tell us the very obvious truths about the spiritual battle that's being waged today. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for Carol, because there's certainly nobody that I know who understands this battle better than Carol. And so she's certainly on the front lines of this battle and has been for many years. And these are not, you know, imaginary forces. You can tap in to these forces. You can get supernatural power. But please do not even consider doing that, because your eternal soul will be lost if you do. Would that be a fair statement, Carol?
Absolutely. It's presented today in such enticing presentation. I think nothing better than the media wave. We've got these incredible special effects in the cinema, this wonderful computer technology where a child can be involved in a magic spell, and in a few seconds of absolutely fabulous computer graphics, a spell can become reality to the viewer, and every little child sees this and wants to practice it. And the Harry Potter stories were just one way where little children watching, reading, first of all, it was Harry Potter, a young 11-year-old witch is introduced into the school systems across American schools where the Bible's been thrown out, but Harry Potter, witchcraft repackaged, comes in as a reading incentive. So the kids start reading this fascinating adventure of a little witch and 350 other students at the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, and how the occult teachers teach them the powers and principles of magic. And Harry Potter is 11 when book number one comes out. He's 12 with book number two, 13 with book number three. And J.K. Rowling, the British author, said it takes 7 years to make the perfect wizard. So 7 books later, the perfect wizard, Harry Potter, comes out. Meanwhile, Warner Brothers each year has the rights of making it into a movie, and every spell that Harry casts on the silver screen is with computer graphics amazingly portrayed in front of the children, who then want to be able to do this magic by themselves. And they can go into Barnes & Noble or any Borders, any big bookstores, and you'll see the New Age kids' books in the hundreds for teenage witchcraft, teenage witch paraphernalia, and the teaching of young children to become stronger witches and New Agers in younger and younger and younger, fascinating, beautifully graphic books, beautifully illustrated books, teaching young children how they can tap into the forces, the powers, the principalities, how they can channel spirits, how they can meet friends, how they can divine spells for love spells for who they want to have love them, or spells and hexes against teachers that give them a hard time at school. So here are young children being introduced into the darkest of dark arts in fascinating movies and books that are presented through the entertainment industry. And to me,
I think it's just so everybody should ask, why is it that we can't celebrate Christmas and Easter in our schools, but we can celebrate Halloween, which is an occult holiday where the witches, of course, the demonic forces are on it? Why is it we can have Halloween parties at our schools, but not Christian parties, during school hours? And you have to understand that our government has been taken over. Our society has been taken over by the dark demonic forces. We've got Claudia calling from Michigan, waiting patiently. Claudia, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes,
sir. Go right ahead. Speak right up.
Yes, I do. I wanted to know, the Kabbalistic movement seems to be growing and very popular, and I wondered if any of those practices were parallel with the occult.
Right, they certainly are, but let Carol answer that. Go ahead, Carol.
Actually, didn't hear Claudia's question.
She
mentioned
Kabbalah. The question was basically, she's calling from Michigan, she wants to know about the Kabbalistic movement, and she says that the Kabbalistic movement seems to be growing. She wants to know what its relationship is to the occult.
Yes, within most Orthodox religions, Claudia, there's always a mystical side. So what you do is, in Islam, you get the mystical aspect of Islam is called Sufi. In Judaism, the mystical side of Judaism is the Kabbalah. And basically each of these is using, as Dr. Stan mentioned earlier, the Gnostic religion. It's the twist of being able to go into your mind and experience the mystical. So whatever faith one, whatever traditional faith one comes from, each of these faiths has what they consider to be a more reformed, more refined, mystical side to it. Within Roman Catholicism, it's the contemplative prayer movement, the Desert Fathers, the contemplative prayer, the sort of the meditation, if you will, going within yourself, experiencing the divine, experiencing the presence. And that's what Kabbalah is, that it's basically tapping in to that mystical energy, that Gnostic energy, that idea which eventually...
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Go right ahead, Carol.
Well, the idea in all of these mystical religions is that everything is an energy force, that there is one force that permeates all things, and that you can tap into the energy that permeates all things, the sort of super consciousness, if you will, and you can be part of that and become in balance with it. So you'll find each of these mystical aspects of traditional religions, even though they have different names, perhaps, and different ways of doing it, basically the idea is to tap into the presence, tap into the energy force, and be able to come one, to become one with it and experience a euphoric spiritual experience.
But of course, Carol, there really is power there that you can tap into, but we have to caution people not to do it. There is supernatural power that you can tap into, but under no circumstances do it. You need to know it's there, but you need to be and understand it and realize, of course, it's a one-way trip to hell, because you are actually turning your mind and your body and your very soul over to these supernatural forces.
And in fact, Jesus warned, the apostles were so excited when they realized that the power that the Lord gave them, when the Lord told them to go out and do miracles, they came back saying, Lord, Lord, even the demons shudder when we come back and we tell them to go. And Jesus says, don't glory in the power of the supernatural. Glory that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you have eternal life. And I think what we need to understand is that Jesus superseded all powers and principalities and put them under his footstool. So his resurrection power was far greater. And if we abide in him, stay in him, adhere to him, rely on him, stay under the shadow of his wings, through him he will overcome all powers and principalities, which he has given us authority over through his Holy Spirit, if we stay in obedience to him. But if we become rebellious and go outside of biblical guidelines and get duped, deceived, enamored with, fascinated with the supernatural world, then we fall under a terrible counterfeit which pulls us down into darkness and confuses us and deludes us.
And I think for Claudia, this is what it is. It is Kabbalah is a Jewish form of mysticism, just as Gnosticism is a Christian form of mysticism. As today, the emerging church is a mystical form of Christianity, but they're all, of course, lies. Thanks very much for calling. God bless. Get the people back there in Michigan listening, will you?
Absolutely.
Bye bye. Oh, well, of course, our guest today is Carol Matriciana. Carol, it's always a pleasure to have you on board. Thanks very much. We'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope you've enjoyed our interviews with Carol Matriciana. And, of course, we've been talking about the background of all of these movements, of course, this movement tapping into the supernatural, whether you do it with yoga, whether you do it with martial arts, and of course, remember, of course, when they are, you're breaking those four or five bricks there, or cement blocks, they're tapping into the supernatural power. You or I did that, why we'd wreck our hand, of course. And then, of course, you have to know that Carol has put out a number of excellent DVDs, which we carry. One is called Harry Potter. One is called Witchcraft. One is called Gods of Entertainment. The Yoga Uncoiled. And then the Supernatural Powers. and Gods of Entertainment. They're all available through Radio Liberty. Again, there's Witchcraft, Harry Potter, The Gods of Entertainment, Yoga Uncoiled, and The Supernatural Powers are all available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to be able to really sit down and really enjoy yourself, we have some excellent Christian DVDs put out by Pastor Billy Crone, who's appearing regularly on Radio Liberty. It's called The Final Countdown. The Final Countdown, there are five DVDs, each one an hour long, in Final Countdown Part 1, and in The Final Countdown Part 2, and of course we have others that we're going to be talking about later on, other things that he's put together as soon as we've had a chance to watch them, but we ordinarily will not put out anything here that we haven't watched and that we agree with completely. This is fascinating, and of course you want the documentation on what's going on today. You have to look at it through a spiritual point of view. The Final Countdown Part 1, Final Countdown Point 2, and if you get the two of them together, you get them at a reduced rate. And that's what's known as marketing, but of course it's it helps us, and it will help you as well. And then, of course, Carol does have a new has an older DVD called The New Order of the Barbarians, going to the Muslim faith, or maybe it's just called The Order of the Barbarians. We do have a four-tape set on The New Order of the Barbarians, which we put out, which is actually an interview with a man who heard Dr. Richard Dame, who is part and parcel of a secret movement, exposing exactly what it's all going to be. The talk was in 1969. There are four interviews with Dr. Dunnigan, The New Order of the Barbarians. It's a four-tape set. You will never look at the world through the same eyes again after hearing this. These were actually recorded sometime in the early 1990s. And, of course, most of them are not our recordings. They were done by Randy Engel, although I did contact Dr. Dunnigan and do an interview with him myself. I really wondered, could this story really be true? And the final analysis, I came to the conclusion, not only could be, that it is. So, under any circumstances, we do hope you'll go to our website and look at the items we have, or our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And certainly the girls there will suggest, give you the suggested donation for any of these items. If you'd like to get a free copy of the Luciferian pamphlet, where they write quite openly about what they're doing, it's called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. And you get any of the other items you ask for, we'll be glad to get it for you. Don't forget about our all-day seminar on the 26th of October. That's just about a little less than a month away. And, of course, it's going to be after the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. We're going to be serving lunch. We're going to have a number of excellent speakers. Joanna Michelson speaking on the supernatural. And I think probably Carol is going to be here, Carol Matriciana. She's not going to be speaking, but she'll be there. And, of course, we hope to have her, the talk that she gave us for us last year, available. And then, of course, we also are hoping that we will have Dr. Blaylock will be here, Pat Wood will be here talking about finances, so we hope you can come. If you're going to have to reservations, call us at 1-800-544-8927, all-day seminar. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So again, once again, our number 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.